Welcome to Knock Knock, Who's There? A fitness podcast, the official voice of the Knock Academy, an online fitness experience. Each week, we will talk about current and popular fitness topics and keep it real by featuring our Academy members sharing the successes and struggles of their fitness journeys. We will also welcome fitness industry experts talking about a wide range of health and wellness topics. Thanks for joining us.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's me, Sam.
Hey, Sam. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure having you. How you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. Thank you for asking me to be on. I'm really excited about this.
Me too. Me too. Sam, I like the people that you train, what you do and you bring to the industry right now resonates with me. So just to give you a snapshot into Sam and what she does, Sam is the founder of the Sam Core Trainer company. And your niche, your speciality is training women over 40. So hello, I'm sitting right here in front of you. So I'm excited to talk to you as well, because I feel like I know a lot of the things we're going to talk about today is happening to me. I'm feeling these things inside my body, physically and mentally. So I think that I'm going to be getting some information for myself, but also, you know, it's fantastic for everybody who's listening. But I kind of want to start this off by saying, although we're going to be talking, you know, primarily about what you do, which is health and fitness for women over the age of 40, I think it's also really important for anybody listening to take note on the stuff that we're saying, especially if you are part of the fitness industry and you have clients that fit in that demographic. If you have somebody in your family that sits within that demographic, and you can just be more mindful of challenges and experiences that they are going through. So I'm super excited to delve into this stuff. So thank you so much for joining me, Sam. Go ahead, tell us a little bit more about yourself. I kind of give everyone a little bit of a snapshot, but tell everybody who you are and what's going on.
Well, I mean, I haven't always been specializing in women over 40 because I used to not be 40. I used to be 30. I used to be 20. So I find that, and you're probably the same, like as I've evolved as a woman and a mother, and me living now officially in the sandwich generation, right? So not that I'm taking care of my mom just yet. I mean, I kind of feel like I am, but, you know, I see myself very slowly to the point, or actually not slowly, quickly, I'm going to have to take care of her and also, you know, manage my children. And I've really noticed how, as I've evolved, what I focus on with my clients absolutely has evolved. So, You know, back when I was a kid, I was 18 years old, I joined my first gym. And I immediately gravitated, like, I didn't stay very long in the, you know, the step classes and all of that stuff. I did that for a while, but I very, very quickly gravitated to the weight room. I grew up a very insecure girl, and it was the one thing that actually made me build a lot of confidence. I felt really, really good. I could lift, and I could lift heavy, and I was like, this is awesome. And so when I decided I was going to be a personal trainer, just because I loved it so much, and actually it wasn't my decision, it was a coworker. I used to work in the dental industry for a long time. She's like, you should be a personal trainer. And I was like, me? Really?
Interesting.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. She's like, you're always telling me how to do things. Not that I really knew what I was doing, but you know, I was trying. And so I decided to become a personal trainer. And then shortly after that, I had my first daughter. And then when I looked at my body after I had my baby, I was like, what's going on? Why is things in places that weren't there before?
Oh,
how
yeah.
come nobody's talking about this? And so I very quickly catapulted in the world of diastasis recti. So people know what it is now, but back 20 years ago, people had no idea what it was. So I really kind of went on a big media blitz all over Canada. I was on the Maryland Dennis Show, and I was doing all kinds of things, talking about it, educating women on this is what happens to your body. And just for your listeners who might not know, diastasis recti is a very normal part of pregnancy. It's when the outer abdominal muscles separate to make space for baby. And so that happened. And I was like, oh, okay. So you don't just get your body back after you have a child. That's good to know, right? Then I had my second child and I started peeing my pants. And I'm like, okay, wait a second. Now, first, my abdominals are separating. Now I'm peeing my pants. What's going on? So then I met two colleagues at the time, Kim Vopney and Julia DiPaolo, and we created a business called Bellies Inc., which is still thriving, but we've since sold that. And it was very much about women preparing their bodies for pregnancy and birth so they didn't have to leak and do all these other things. So again, each pregnancy, I was learning new things that nobody was talking about. So now that my kids are 16 and 20, clearly my children are not babies anymore. And I can't relate to that. But what I can relate to is like, why am I waking up in the middle of the night sweating? How come one second I'm happy, the next I want to rip somebody's head off? It was almost like postpartum all over again, or going through puberty, right? And that's what a lot of people kind of compare menopause to, was like puberty backwards.
And that makes complete sense. Yeah.
Right. And so all of like, don't you remember how glamorous puberty was?
Yay.
Right. You're greasy, you're pimply, you're all of a sudden you wake up, you've got boot, like anyways, all kinds of, and that's kind of like what postpartum is like too, right? When your milk comes in, you're like a porn star overnight. So all of these things are happening in menopause, except you're no longer a porn star. Things are not filling, they're deflating.
Very empty.
And so I'm like, wait a second, again, nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about it.
It's
right?
So true. It's so true. It kind of gets hidden, right? Like everything should be glamorous and picture perfect and rosy. And don't get me wrong, there are moments that are just wonderfully divine. But you know, also as a mom and a human being, there's so much change physically and mentally that it can't be ignored. So I'm super, you know, I'm just super happy that we can talk about this stuff now. You know, I think about like even with my mom. You know, things weren't spoken about that, you know, and she's only 62, I think now, right? Like that wasn't a long time ago. It was just stuff that you didn't talk about, you know, suck it up. You're fine. Yeah. And especially coming from England, you know, stiff upper lip. It's fine. Have a cup of tea and carry on. So, you know, and then where does that leave you? You know, a few years later, you know, you don't know your body anymore. Mentally, you're in a very different place. And the support wasn't there. So I love that things are changing, that we can, you know, kind of laugh about it, but also identify it and begin to help each other. So thanks, Sam, for everything.
Yeah, no problem. And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because there's not a lot like on Instagram. There's a few menopause experts that I follow, but the majority of them are very serious and very, and I'm not saying that menopause is not a serious thing. It is a very real thing. But I also like to bring some humor about around it, because on Facebook, all the menopause groups that I see, they're so negative. All they do is talk about how horrible it is. And all because, but at the same time, that's what kind of what they're told, that menopause should suck. You're supposed to be just a hot, sweaty mess all the time. You're supposed to like gain 50 pounds. You're supposed to have no sex drive. All of these things are not, and you go to a doctor and the doctor either just puts you on antidepressants or says, like you said, suck it up. That's part of life. My mom never talked about it either. My mother has been hot and having hot flashes for as long as I can remember. I swear to God, she's been going through menopause for like 50 years, my mother.
Same. Do you know what I used to call my mom? Menopausal maniac. You know the song from Flashdance?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
A maniac.
Yes.
Sad but true, but we did. But it feels like it's been most of my life. My mom has been going through those challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so I figured, you know, I'm going through it. I'm doing my own research on myself. And then I started doing a lot more education on it, going, okay, there absolutely are things you could do. And of course, there's no size fits all in anything about anything. We already know that. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, I work with women, they come to me and I'm like, did you think about this? No, no one said this. Think about this. No, no one said that. All I hear is nobody told me, nobody said anything, nobody, 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 nobody. Right. And it's like, well, you know what? That's what I'm here for, to tell you that there absolutely are options and you don't have to feel cruddy all the time. Right.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you, Sam.
Oh, my pleasure.
And also kind of normalizing it a little bit, right? Like it doesn't have to be something that's like, oh, I'm going through menopause, like hush, hush. Or the other way around, when you were talking about going through puberty, or, oh, I started my period. Like this isn't a bad thing. Like this is part of what we do as women, you know, and each stage in our life, as much as it's sucky, we should also celebrate it. Like it's a change to embrace. You know, and maybe that change sets you on a new path, or, you know, I don't know, just something different. It's a new time in your body to celebrate your body in a different way.
Yes. Yes. And it is a great, it should really be, even though, I mean, and I'll talk a little bit exactly what menopause is, but you know, if you think about it, my kids are older now. I have my freedom back. Are you kidding? I was just in Buffalo. My husband took me to Buffalo to watch the Bills game. I couldn't have done that 10 years ago, leave my children, right? Like this should be a part of time where we really get to enjoy our lives again, right? So this is an opportunity for us to, yes, look at the second stage. This is the second stage of life, right? No, no more periods and all. And yes, our hormones are, but there's things that we can do in order for us to actually enjoy that life, not be like, oh, now we're all dried up. We're dried up prunes. And this is the way it's going to be forever.
Oh my goodness. That's it. So Sam, segueing from dried up old prunes, and this is the way life is, and we're menopausal maniacs.
Yeah.
Give us, you know, a little insight, like you said, into menopause. You know, and some of your research, so we can kind of begin to understand a little bit more about it.
Sure. So menopause itself is 12 months. It's the actual last day of the 12 month of no more menses, no more period. Menopause is actually just one day, right? So that 12th, the last day on the 12th month, no period, I'm in menopause, done. The next day is postmenopause and on. Okay. Leading up to that, there is premenopause, which is from when we're born through puberty up until peri. And perimenopause can last anywhere from 3 to 10 years before you hit menopause. The thing is about perimenopause, though, it's such a gray area because it can start as early as 35 and it can be as late as 50, right? And people aren't really sure. Especially, I would say on average, there are some doctors who say once you hit 40, you're officially in perimenopause. And I think they're just talking about the majority of the population, right? Okay. Not a lot of people are getting at 35. Not a lot of people are doing it 50 because the average age of menopause is 51. So they say once you hit 40, you're officially in perimenopause or you're starting. However, most women, the majority of women who are mothers, they have young children at 40, right? 40 is just when things are starting to happen. Shit's starting to go, right? Whether we're building a business or we're working or whatever we're doing, we're managing the home. We've got young children. We've got a house. We've got a home. We've got a partner, whatever it is. We have a very stressful lifestyle in our 40s. But then we're in perimenopause. The reality is a lot of women who are going through perimenopause have no idea. Because a lot of the symptoms that happen with perimenopause are also just symptoms of being in your 40s.
Of life.
Yeah.
Period.
Right?
Life.
So people be like, I didn't know. And I'm like, well, are you constantly exhausted? Are you constantly crabby? Do you have, like, all of these things are also a cause of all these hormonal changes that are starting to happen. But again, nobody tells you. And really, the only way to find out, and I'm a big fan, is get your hormones tested.
Okay. So with that little tidbit, you know, how does one go about doing this? And I'm kind of talking about myself as well, because I'm like, yep, this sounds like me. Hello. Yeah.
So you can get your basic hormones, like, so your estrogen, progesterone, all that stuff. You can get that checked by your doctor.
Okay.
Okay. You just ask for lab work, but I'm a big fan. So I have my regular, you know, doctor, my MD, who does all the basic stuff, but I also am a big fan of going to naturopathic care because I really feel it's much more holistic and it's much more detailed. So I had, luckily for me, it was just about a year, maybe before COVID hit, I had a hormone panel done. And a very common test that a lot of naturopaths do for hormones is called a Dutch test. So it's not just blood work. If you actually pee on strips of paper at certain times of the day, which makes sense because your hormones fluctuate throughout the day, right? So if you're just going to a doctor's office and you're getting your hormones tested and you're getting a blood work at a certain time of day, that's testing what your hormones look at that time of day. What about later on? What about earlier? What about, right? So this Dutch test is quite detailed in that you have these different strips of paper, you pee on it certain times, then you have to send it to the lab, and then it literally tells you, you get a flow chart showing you what's happening with your estrogen and all your different, there's three types of estrogen, right? What's happening with your progesterone, what's happening with your testosterone, what's happening with your cortisol. And then it really makes sense because I found out that with my cortisol, because typically your cortisol should be highest in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. We wake up naturally with sunlight, or we're supposed to, right? That's why most people can focus.
Not in a Canadian winter.
In the morning. Exactly. I know. I'm like looking outside and there's like no sun.
Like, is it daylight yet?
Yeah, right. Okay. But in normal.
Sure. Sorry.
Right? Yes, I totally get it. And then our cortisol should be lowest in the middle of the night. Well, my cortisol was low in the morning and it wasn't peaking until later in the morning, early in the afternoon. And so when it made sense, because in the morning I was so tired, I was like, why am I so tired? I slept. I don't understand. But then I would get this pick me up around noon. I'd be like, bing, 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 bing. I'd be buckling all around. Right. So I had to take some supplements to help me manage my cortisol levels. So I was put on adrenals, but it was really powerful. And I really find, you know how they say knowledge is power?
Of course.
It is. Yes. It is. But as long as you actually take that knowledge and you apply it and you do something. True. Because people you can do all the research in the world. You can read, you can listen to podcasts. You can listen to me talk and go, yeah, with Smith. But if you don't apply it, it's not really powerful. It's not doing anything. It's just stuff, you know, right. But you're not actually taking action with that information. So I really found it amazing because I had this sheet and my naturopath got the blood work. She went through and she showed me everything that was happening at certain times. And I was like, I love this. Now it all makes sense. And because right before that, I was waking up with night sweats, right? And never even clued in that I would be in perimenopause, even though I was like 47, like wasn't even in my brain. And then I was like, oh, hello. Of course I am full on in it because I also had a hysterectomy years before that. Right. And so when you have a hysterectomy, what also people don't know that much is even if you keep your ovaries in, you still do go into surgical menopause. You just go, it's slower. It doesn't hit you like a ton of bricks, like as if you had a full hysterectomy. Right. So these are, again, things that nobody told me. My surgeon didn't tell me. My doctor didn't tell me. So I had to do this research my own. So now, since, you know, having this Dutch test and taking more of my supplements, no more night sweats. I feel awake in the morning. Hello. Right. And again, there's not a one size fits all, but this, if people are really, you want to know which stage of life you are physiologically and what's going on with your hormones, get a hormone panel done.
Yeah. This sounds really life-changing and something that we should all know about. So thank you for sharing.
My pleasure. 100%.
And then I'm curious to know, so with your naturopath from, mm-hmm. you know, from looking at the results now, did you start to then plan, I guess, you know, when to move, when to exercise, you know, when would be the best time to perform activities? Did you schedule that together or was that just you with your own, you know, health and fitness knowledge? What did you then do with the results?
Okay. You know, what is so good about that is that one thing about menopause is that women struggle a lot during menopause because they refuse to change their lifestyle habits in relation to what's going on with their life. And I was one of them. Mm-hmm. So I've always, since my girls were young, I would say about 5, I've always been an early riser. I get up and I go to the gym. So that alarm clock would go off at 5 a.m. And even if literally my eyes were glued shut, I would like smack myself in the face and I would drag myself out to bed and I would be at that gym. Right. It was hard, but I was pushing myself and I was doing it. Had I known what I knew now, I absolutely would have changed it. I would have gone to the gym later when I had this burst of energy, but I wasn't doing that. So if you ask me, no, I didn't change it because I was so stuck in my routine and I was so stubborn that I was actually doing myself a disservice. But now that my hormones are balanced, I'm fine. I get up, I'm well rested, I go to the gym. But I really should have adjusted it according to what my results had said, right? If my cortisol was high at 11, because cortisol helps to give us energy, why in the world wasn't I going to the gym then? Mm-hmm. Right? But I was like, no, I've got to go.
I have my routine.
I have my routine. I can't change it. But that's a lot of reasons why. And that there's actually research that supports that is women don't change their life. They won't. They'll continue to diet. They'll continue to push themselves even harder. I'm going to go harder. Right? I'm going to even eat smaller amounts of food. I'm going to, you know, burn the midnight oil. I'm going to do all these things because I've got to prove. You got nothing to prove to anybody except you're slowly breaking yourself down.
It's so right? true. It's so true. And we're all creatures of habit. And I honestly think, you know, as a woman, as a mother, you also then take on the roles and responsibilities for other people. So you couldn't possibly break your routine because then it's going to interrupt everything else for everyone else. Mm-hmm. When actually, if we really think about it, we probably should deal with our routine first, take care of ourselves, show up as a better person. Hello, and then filter in everybody else because it's just going to work better, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, you saying that, like I could just hear people right now listening to you going, yeah, but it's easier for you to say like, well, right. However, and we're both moms, you know what, when you change it, yeah, you might disrupt the rhythm in the home for a little bit.
Yes, of course.
But in order, we understand too, that in order for things to change, things have to change. Right. So you killing yourself to make sure that you don't disrupt anybody else's routine isn't going to do you any favors in the long run, right? And we also have to remember too, as parents, we are setting an example. Because one thing I've always said, kids do not do as we say, they do as we do. So if you don't show self-care, you are not giving the example for your children on how to take care of themselves. All they see is push, push, hard, go, collapse, scream, lose your mind because, well, that's what my mother did. So that's what I'm going to do.
It's so true. It is so true. Right. And then you get into the whole, you know, negative energy as well as physical health
of course, and
mental health. And you're right, Sam, like it isn't easy. It actually sucks when you make a change. Like you said, for those first couple of weeks, you've got to suck it up, but then you notice that things start to level off a little bit. Yep. The energy shifts, you know, because I'm in a better place. Guess what? My energy and my communication and my rapport with my daughter is going to be better. And then that has a ripple effect into what she's doing. So I'd rather take 2 weeks of crap, knowing that the longevity is going to be a lot more, just a lot better. And everyone's going to be in a better place. And I love that you touch on role modeling. Like that's so important. That's so important to me, you know, and even now, and I get mom guilt when I go and teach or I go to the gym, I still get that. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen, but the way I phrase it is I'm going to teach a class or I'm going to do a workout because mommy enjoys that. Mommy's taking care of herself.
And can I just say from having two girls who are 16 and 20, for me doing, so I've been going to the gym ever since they were born. Like 6 weeks, I got the 6 week checkup. I was back at the gym. And no, I wasn't doing burpees or crazy stuff, but I was like walking on the treadmill, right? But there was always been a part of my life. And that was one thing I was never, ever, ever going to give up. I was not going to do it because that's what kept me sane. Mm-hmm. It totally was me just having that hour to myself. And once the pandemic hit and I was like, oh, what? I got a bunch of fitness equipment I brought into the house. My girls, not because I ever said to them, you want to work out with me? I mean, I shouldn't say that. I did periodically, but then after a few times when they keep turning you down, you're just like, okay, forget it. Like you can't, once a teenager makes up their mind, you might as well talk to the wall. Like they're worse than toddlers. Okay. So forget it. Don't even bother. But then all of a sudden, what's going on? What's all that banging? I'm working out. Your kids are paying attention, right? So for you, Nikki, who your daughter's young, she is absorbing all of that. And eventually she will start doing the same thing. My younger daughter was like, now she wants a membership at the gym. And I know she'll go because she works out here regularly 3 to 4 times a week.
Yes.
And I don't say anything, nothing. It's just something that we do.
Yep. It's something that they see, right? It becomes part of their life. It becomes habitual, I guess. And it was actually quite funny. I had a proud mama moment. So last week, Harley comes home from school and she says, "We did gym today." And I said, "Oh, that's great. Like, what did you do?" You know, and in my head, I'm thinking at most, they probably just ran around screaming, and, you know, maybe did some kind of structured activity. Yeah. She said, "No, mama, I made them do squats and I made them do jumping jacks."
And right on.
And I didn't even, like you said, I had had no, like, I don't work out with her. She's 4 years old. She sees me. She sees me do these things, right? Absolutely. She sees videos I watch, right? She understands that it's part of my life. So there it is, without me teaching her what squats and jumping jacks were. She was, you know, she was there. It was already part of her life. So yes, so awesome. they are watching everything. So, you know, being that role model is important, you know, and the flip side of that is you also then get to do what you enjoy while being a role model. So it's a win-win situation. It's so great.
100%. Yeah.
So coming back into specifically, you know, women over 40, menopause, activity. So, you know, we kind of spoke about the testing and, you know, action plans and things that we can do. Mm-hmm. What kind of, you know, like physical mindful movement should we be thinking about? Like, you know, is strength going to deteriorate? You know, is balance going to be affected? Like, you know, as well as action planning when we're going to move, what type of movements and things should we actually be thinking about when it comes to physical activity?
Yeah. So basically the answer to those first two questions is yes and yes. So, you know, because perimenopause and menopause are two different things. I mean, they're not starkly different, but there's different changes. Absolutely. You want to be more mindful of what you're focusing on. So, once you start hitting perimenopause, let me take a step back. Your two kind of primary hormones, estrogen and progesterone, are like BFFs. They work together. They are the yin to each other's yang. They work very well together. Well, once we hit perimenopause, the first of the two hormones to drop is progesterone. And progesterone is the hormone that is kind of chill, really likes to just relax and stay back, and is the one that kind of likes to control things, where estrogen is the partier, right? Wants to get out there. Estrogen gives you all the energy. So once we start hitting perimenopause, progesterone drops. So as a result of that, we feel more anxious, stressed. And remember what I talked about in your 40s, we already have a very anxious and stressful lifestyle because we're in our 40s, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but when progesterone drops, we don't have that supportive balance to help us manage with stress. So as a result, then we get more of an influx or an up and down yo-yo of estrogen. So that's why you'll hear women in perimenopause be like, "Oh, one day I was great. The next, like I was collapsing," right? Or emotions are all over the place. And they just think it's their stressful lifestyle, which is part of it. But it's also because you don't have progesterone there to help support you.
Right.
But also as a result, because you're already leading a stressful lifestyle in your 40s, you've got increased levels of cortisol. Right. And we know cortisol is our fight or flight hormone. It really is the one that's supposed to just only be released under times of stress. But hello, when are we not stressed? Like, I love how we say that under times of stress. Yeah. Have you lived in the world in the past 2 years? Like, everybody's on like, and we've got social media, and we've got all these things, and we've got the news, and everybody should be scared and freaking out. So our stress levels are already right all the way up here. So forget perimenopause, like we're already like ridiculous amounts of stress levels. So our cortisol, but now it's even higher because of perimenopause, right? So, but when you start with all of these changes that are happening and you've got this influx of estrogen going up and down and we start putting on weight, what do you think women's first thing that they want to do? They're exhausted. They're stressed, but oh my God, I have to lose these 10 pounds. What are they going to do? I'm going to stop eating more. I'm only going to eat 1,000 calories a day, and I'm going to do boot camp 5 days a week. Doesn't matter if I exhaust, I collapse and I die at the end of the day. That's fine. I need to get this less time. It is completely counterproductive. And what you'll actually do is what we can't forget is, even though exercise is a very positive form of stress in our body, it is still a form of stress. So if you are already at elevated stress levels, you've got cortisol through the roof, you don't have progesterone, you pushing yourself hard, it's actually going to backfire, and you'll cause yourself to gain more weight as a result of it. And people are like, what? What do you mean? Yeah. Because pushing yourself too hard is too stressful. Withholding food is very stressful on our bodies too, right? So our body's going to hold on to everything. Give it a peanut. I'm not burning off this peanut. Are you kidding me? Because I don't know when you're going to give me any food. And now you're going to, you want to use this peanut as fuel to go do boot camp 5 days a week. How is that going to work? It's not going to work. So one thing that, you know, clients actually are surprised at. So I get a lot of women in their 40s and early 50s who are fasting, intermittent fasting. And so fasting, the thing is, when it comes to diets, I'm not a fan of diets in general, but I'm also not going to say they're horrible, because certain things work for different bodies. Okay. But in the realm, I would say the majority, they don't. And this is why we know that the diet industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, because nobody can sustain that. So when women come to me and they're fasting, they're only eating 1,000 calories a day, they're working out 50 times a week or doing whatever, I tell them to stop. I tell them to eat more food. And I said, I only want you to work out like 2 to 3 times a week. They're like, what? What? And they see themselves like they're going to gain 50 pounds in a day. And I'm like, you need to slow down this. And actually what you need to do is I want you to just do yoga. I want you to go for a walk. And I said, and you're not allowed to go on a power walk. You're not allowed to do this. Nope. You literally have to look outside. You have to smell the flowers, or, well, there's no flowers right now. I don't know. Try not to inhale the snow, right? But I really want down regulation. We need to tap into that parasympathetic nervous system, because our sympathetic nervous system is up, up high because we're so stressed. You need to do the opposite. And it's amazing that once we actually do that, our bodies respond accordingly, because you're not already asking and pushing it when it's got nothing to give. It's screaming because you're already exhausted. So that's perimenopause. But then once you slowly start getting closer to menopause, estrogen starts to drop. Remember, estrogen is our party hormone, right? It makes us feel good. Estrogen is good for everything, like everything. Estrogen gets such a bad rap. It is good for everything. We need it. And there is a reason why our bodies change so much. Our memory changes. We can't even put together two sentences. Like, we can't even do anything when our estrogen drops, right? There's a reason for it. But it is also very closely related with our metabolism. So when estrogen drops, of course, we start losing muscle faster than we can create it. Faster. So when you are working out during menopause, please, I want at least 2 days a week of lifting, and lifting heavy. Don't listen to Tracy Anderson, that Hollywood person who says that no woman should lift heavier than 5 pounds. I want to scream. I want to...
Oh my goodness. God. I'm so glad I don't know who that person is.
Oh my goodness.
That would just infuriate me.
Oh, she's the one who trained Gwyneth Paltrow after she had her kids, and, you know, but she had Gwyneth like doing, but she was working out 2 or 3 hours a day. And I was like, of course. And she was like 35. So, okay. That's different.
Not valid. Right?
I still wouldn't do that.
No.
Who has time to work out for 3 hours?
2.5 hours. No.
Nobody has that time. So in menopause, you want to focus on lifting, and you want to lift heavy, heavier than you think. Now, not heavy that you're going to hurt yourself, but heavier than you think, because you need muscle. You need muscle to support bone, because yes, you're also losing bone, right? As we get older, and our bodies are very smart. So because we're losing estrogen, our body is also going to pack on more fat to help protect that bone. Right? So if it's going to put on more fat, your metabolism going down, how are you going to fight? What are you going to do? You need to lift, because we know that the more muscle mass we have, the more calories we burn at rest, right? So we have to do that too. Yes, still focus on, stress reducing things. You still don't want to overtrain. And also, if you're going to be lifting heavy, you need to eat protein. Please, when women come to me and they say, oh, I eat lots of protein. How much do we eat? 50 grams a day?
It's really difficult to get enough protein in one day.
Oh, good Lord. You know?
Yep.
So it really is like it morphs from like more in perimenopause, that the relaxing, like down regulation of the central nervous system. You're still going to do some strength training, but you really want to focus more. Like I say to people, if you had a choice, please focus on like yoga, right? And just really dialing in on your food, making sure you're eating lots of protein, lots of fiber, all of those things. But then once you hit menopause, I want you lifting heavier. And again, protein, protein, protein. And here's the thing too about estrogen is when estrogen goes down, and because it's very closely tied with our metabolism, and remember, we also have elevated levels of cortisol that have happened in perimenopause. We also get increased levels of insulin. So as we go through menopause, instead of us becoming insulin sensitive, so before that, we're sensitive to insulin. In other words, meaning when we're eating sugar, our pancreas releases insulin. And so we get to get the sugar out of the blood, we send that sugar to the cells to convert into energy, right? Well, now with menopause, because estrogen starts going down, these cells start going, oh, no, I don't want that sugar. I don't want it. Not interested. Not going to do it. And so the pancreas is going, oh, well, I guess I just need to release more insulin because I guess there's not enough. So our cells become resistant. Okay. And so now we've got insulin and cortisol that are partying together because progesterone and estrogen are no longer there to help. And now it's all a party. And the thing is what we know about cortisol and insulin as well, even though the primary job of cortisol is to help reduce stress, we know the primary job of insulin is to get sugar out of the blood. Its secondary job for both of them is to store fat around the midsection. So this is another reason why we want to keep these levels low. And by doing that, strength training again, people, and rest, focusing on rest to keep the cortisol level down. And with your nutrition, protein, protein, protein. Protein.
Did you get that? Protein.
Just in case it wasn't clear. Don't start your day off with a big bowl of oatmeal. Don't. Okay. If you're going to have oatmeal, have it later in the day. Think of building a foundation, right? If you're building a house, you have to have really good, heavy, I don't know, how do you build a house? Cinder blocks? I don't know. Cement. You need a lot of cement. Like you need cement. And then if you want to put the other stuff, okay, but at least you've got a good foundation. Think of every day you start your day with protein. You're sending a really, really good foundation and fiber. So lots of vegetables, really good foundation. So then when you do have maybe some toast or some oatmeal later, you've got that foundation. So you're not going to get these blood sugar spikes. Because once it starts to spike, it's really hard to bring it down. It's not as easy for when we're in our 20s or our 30s. When we always say, start our day with oatmeal. I did that all the time. Can't do that anymore in menopause. Our bodies don't respond that way anymore.
Oh man, there's so much to think about. Yeah, like head explode. So I'm going to try my best here to try and summarize that. Look, I think what's important to note, you know, especially if your ears are pricked up and you're like, I think this might be me. I think what's important is that we truly just look at a balanced approach to exercise, not going in, like you said, 5 days as hard and fast as we can, and let's eat one peanut. We have to really think about what is good for our body, but also what makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we are doing yoga on a Monday, maybe Tuesday we rest, we go for the walk. Mm-hmm. Wednesday we can hit a weight session. Thursday, we're back into yoga. It's about finding balance and moving in a way that feels good with you. And for sure, like, I mean, we can do the testing and that can help us understand and identify where our, you know, our cortisol and our energy levels and what our hormones are doing. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to food, again, nutritious, balanced meals, protein is absolutely key. And we know that that actually isn't just for anybody who's 40 plus, like just period, like your body needs protein. Mm-hmm. and then just following a really nice flow and routine for your body. Mm-hmm. So my message really here is, if I have to summarize everything, is we don't need to go to extremes.
No.
We don't need to, like, I must, to counteract this, I must do the complete opposite. Not mm-hmm. at all. You know, it's about finding a good, sustainable approach that's going to serve you really, really well. Totally. Did I summarize that well, Sam? I mean, there was
absolutely.
A lot of info there.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I did a lot of talk. And like I said before, we recorded it. I think it's really passionate. I can go on and on and on.
It's wonderful.
So I'm glad you're paying attention. But yeah, I mean, I just basically gave people, like, you know, the kind of like the bullet points of what to follow. You're going to find out what works well for you, because again, no two people are the same.
Yeah.
But these are just things that, and like you said, to do even before menopause, like, this is stuff that everybody should be doing. But the thing about menopause, though, which people hate to hear, that's kind of when all of the stuff that you did before catches up with you.
Mm.
Right. So if you were somebody who was a yo-yo dieter, if you were somebody who's an extremist and this and that and all this stuff, all that stuff is going to catch up to you really, really quickly. And then So you have to make a decision how you want to spend this second half of your life. Like we were saying earlier, this should be a time that you really should enjoy. So if you just have to make a little bit of tweaks in your workouts, if I'm telling you to work out less, you should be happy. You should be like, all right. I used to work out 5 days a week. Now I'm like, no, thanks. Three is good. I'm happy, right? Mm. I don't need to walk across the stage. Maybe some people do. And then that's a completely different conversation.
Of course.
But you're just really trying to enjoy your life. And like you said, focusing on things that make you feel good. That's why I say to my clients all the time, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it.
That's so true. Right?
Feel that you have to.
Yeah. That intuitive, like eating intuitive. Is that the right word? Intuitive. Yes. Movement, you know, is really key. And, you know, even as a fitness professional, oh, you should be doing all the workouts. There are some days I'm like, no, I actually don't want to do a workout at all. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for a really nice walk with my dog. I'm going to get a coffee on the way through and just chill and be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think really being in a place of acceptance of where you are in your life has to come first. And that's where we initiate that change. Cause you're mm-hmm. right, Sam, you know, and I'm going back a couple of conversations to like post baby in my brain. I was like, oh yeah, I'll just bounce back in 2 weeks and I'll be my former self. But no. And actually, once I made peace with that, I'm like, well, why do I want to go backwards anyway? This is who I am now.
Thank you. Why is having an after baby bod a bad thing? Why?
Exactly. And it should be different.
Yeah. Well, when I used to just work with pre and postnatal, my goal was to get women to be stronger and more functional than before they had children.
Mm.
Right? Like, because a lot of us kind of just, especially if you've got a really quick metabolism, we kind of just take it for granted that we have like maybe cute little bodies and blah, blah, blah. And then there's nothing more humbling than having a child and really kind of going, okay, now I've really got like perspective, right?
Yes.
All my organs are still in my body. I want to keep them there. Okay, good. My kid's alive. Okay. I can still lift. Okay. Right. And I want to keep it that way. It's no longer about like how cute I look in this little short skirt or whatever. I mean, maybe for some people it is, but I found it very, very humbling. It really made me re-kind of prioritize what's important when it comes to my health. Because it wasn't just about, I mean, come on, when I first joined a gym, it was all about how I looked. 100%.
Yeah, you're 18.
Of course. But after, it was about how I felt. And I feel fantastic now.
Great. That's really good to hear.
Thank you.
That's really good to hear. I think, you know, for any woman listening, you know, these milestones in our body are things that we should celebrate. We don't have to hide anything. We should take each opportunity to reevaluate, see what's important to us, physically, emotionally, mentally, and then make change accordingly. And like you said, Sam, everybody's a little bit different. So this is where, you know, we have to also be okay asking for help, seeking out advice from professionals, you know, and then really setting in a game plan and knowing that, you know, what we did when we were 18 is gonna, you know, is it can't be sustainable at 40, and that's okay. Let's find something new that wasn't appealing or perhaps even available to us at 18, and go for that now. So, you know, to any women listening out there, celebrate your body, celebrate where you are in life, and, you know, really just make the most of it. Mm-hmm. You know, enjoy whatever that looks like for you. Sam, is there anything that you you kind of want to say or add in as we begin to wrap up our session today?
No, I would just say, you know, menopause and midlife, like I said, is a very normal part of our lives, and it's not surprising that there's very little information about there. And I'm going to get kind of political because it's women's health, right? So we need to do better, like that, you know, in general, society has to do better in doing more research on this. But like you said, don't be afraid to ask for help. You do not have to struggle in menopause. You don't. You can have your life back. You can have your confidence back. You can have your sex drive back. You can have all of that back, but you have to make the decision that you want to do it. And it's going to take work, right? Because the one thing about everybody is our hormones control us. They are the puppeteers. We are the puppets. So you can try and fight against it all you want, but you're not going to win. Hormones are going to win. So you're going to have to make adjustments, and you're going to have to work with what you've got and make the best of it. And it's actually quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, back at the very beginning, knowledge is power if you choose to do something with that knowledge. So there you go. 100%. On that note, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today, Sam. I got so many great insights and tips and action plans for me to set me on my new path and embrace where I am. And it's okay. Like I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know, like you said, it's a new stage in my life, and I'm kind of happy about that. It means, like I said, I can try new things and explore new possibilities.
Yes.
So thanks for listening in, everybody. In our episode notes today, we'll have all of Sam's contact information so you can reach out to her if you have any questions, anything you want to expand on, if you're curious on what training is like with Sam, pick her brains, just say hi, right? Like whatever you want to do, reach out to myself or Sam if you want this topic expanded, you know, and I'm 100% sure we will probably talk again, Sam, like this, you know, we could talk about so much in regards to, I mean, not just menopause, but I think, you know, women's health in general. Yes. So thanks again for joining me, everybody. Until next time, take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed the show, share it with at least one person, and please consider leaving us a 5-star review on Apple. It really helps us reach more people. Come join our community by heading over to our website or finding us on social media. All links are in the show notes. And remember, the world of fitness is 10% facts and 90% opinion.